Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 90 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Leanne Akers.
We're going to expand the preschool staff. We're going to have a certified and classified. That means we can take more preschool students.
Rouen School Superintendent Marvin Moore says the county's preschool program has been awarded two grants totaling more than $180,000.
Vanceburg City Council is considering school district annexation and tax hikes to offset a budget shortfall.
And Kentucky's environmental groups are enjoying increased engagement since President Trump took office.
In sports, the Reds try to end their losing streak tonight against the Diamondbacks.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Rouen County's preschool program is getting over $180,000 in grant money. The first award from the Kentucky Department of Education is for $141,000. It's meant to help the district expand the program and add 20 to 25 new students. Superintendent Marvin Moore says that's important since taking part in a preschool program sets a solid foundation for a child's K through 12 educational career.
If we can get them at 3 and 4 year olds and work with them and get them ready for kindergarten, we see a big difference in those students, and to me it's a win-win for the students, it's a win-win for us, because these kids are better prepared to go into kindergarten, go on and move on to elementary, middle, and high school.
The second grant Rouen's preschool program has received is for $40,000. It comes from the Gateway District Health Department via the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services Early Childhood Healthy Living Initiative, which educates youngsters on how to make healthy life choices.
A large amount of rain in June did little to slow down the progress being made on the construction of Rouen County's new $18 million detention center. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says the building continues to take shape, although the project was recently hit with an $11,000 change order by a state inspector.
It's being rectified. It's basically there's supposed to be a gap between your non-supporting walls and the roof, they did not have that, so they had to go in and cut about a 2-inch gap, and had to cut through all those concrete blocks with a 2-inch gap, so it took a little time and it's a little manpower, but it's moving forward, and hopefully we'll get in there at the end of January.
Blevin says part of the nearly 300-bed jail's roof is already on, and much of its exterior has been bricked. Once the roof is completed, humidifiers will be used to dry out the building's interior, which will allow the project's painters to go to work.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city is closing in on a site for its new police and fire station. After searching for several months, Trent says officials have narrowed their list to a single property, but at this time, he won't disclose where it is.
I feel confident we'll be able to make an announcement, hopefully, by the end of this calendar year, but I'm hoping that it'll be sometime in this fall that we can let the public know where it's going to be and start releasing some ideas of the design and maybe even a timetable on when it would be able to be occupied and up and running.
Trent has said in the past that if the city wants to have the facility located close to the downtown area, officials are planning to spend $5 million or less for both the property and the building that will house Moorhead's police and fire departments.
Two Moorhead groups are teaming up with a Scholastic Summer Reading Road Trip RV to host an event on Thursday for area youth. Coffee Tree Books and the Rouen County Arts Center will set up a book fair on the Arts Center lawn that will include Clifford the Big Red Dog, prizes, and reading activities. RCAC Director Ash Gillum says the event helps prevent learning loss that children experience over the summer and will benefit the Arts Center.
Part of the partnership was that they were going to share a percentage of the sales with us, and we're, of course, being a nonprofit, we're happy with whatever, whether it's 10 cents or, you know, 20 bucks or more than that. We're always excited to get anything that we can.
The event will take place from 10 a.m. to noon on Thursday.
The Moorhead Tourism Commission, Moorhead Conference Center, and the GFWC Moorhead Women's Club have partnered together to add another trail stop to Main Street. GFWC Moorhead Women's Club donated funds raised during one of their recent charity balls to support the Trail Town efforts. Moorhead Tourism and the Moorhead Conference Center matched their donation for the project. Tourism Director Joy Brown says the stop includes a kiosk with trail information, a picnic table, and designated parking.
That's a big need for trail users when they come to your community, is to find the place where they can park and know that they won't be towed when they get back to their car after their hike. And, of course, we've always offered that in the back lot of the conference center or in the side lot, but now we have those designated spots to kind of start training people. Here's where you can park. You're safe there, and your vehicle will be watched.
Brown says the Moorhead Trail Town designation has increased tourism, and the new stop will make it even easier on visitors.
Crews from the State Department of Highways have shut down a section of Kentucky 182 in Carter County while they complete repairs on a spot where the road has slipped. Department spokesman Alan Blair says they're using rock to backfill an area on the roadside of a State Route 182 at mile point 4.7. That's at Grand Street, where a T-rail support has been installed.
We're going to have to work in the roadway between 7:30 and 3 every day. So, you know, people do need to try to find a way around. We'll be also doing this in some of the other T-rail project areas in the coming weeks. So people just need to watch out for that. Plan their trips a little differently, maybe. We'll get this done as quickly as possible and get those roads open back up.
Blair says the plan is to have the repairs to Kentucky 182 completed by late Friday.
The Vanceburg City Council gathered in a special meeting this week to discuss a budget shortfall. With more, here's Sean Delaney.
Members of City Council convened Monday to address multiple budget issues. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Vanceburg must contribute $45,000 in retirement funds on top of a $60,000 budget shortfall from the 2016-17 fiscal year. There's no specific reason for the shortfall, according to Mayor Matt Ginn. Council members are still mulling over their options. They may change the reimbursement rates from the city's recycling services, raise taxes, or annex schools. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Brady Industries has named its board of directors for a local facility. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the $1.3 billion aluminum rolling mill that's planned to be built in South Shore now has a board of directors. Brady CEO Craig Bouchard says the directors will provide invaluable insight to create the low-cost producer of high-quality aluminum and advanced materials for the transportation and defense industries in America. The board is made up of the following members: Dr. Michael Porter, retired General Norton Schwartz, Dr. Christopher Hsu, Charles Price, and John Preston. The company plans to employ 550 workers and will offer an average annual salary of $70,000. The 4 million square foot mill is planned to open in 2020. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Kentucky's Attorney General is reviewing an ethics opinion that could decide his political future. By a 4-1 vote, the Executive Branch Ethics Commission told Andy Beshear that if he decides to investigate Governor Matt Bevin's purchase of an Anchorage mansion, he can't run for governor in 2019. The commission cites a conflict of interest and says he would also be prevented from supporting the Democratic nominee even if he didn't run. Beshear says the commission's warning is evidence that the state itself has an ethics issue.
So what we have seen is what I think is can be described as a hijacking of state ethics, removing it from independent folks and putting it in the hands of folks who are beholden.
Beshear says the ethics opinion will not rush his decision on whether or not he will enter the 2019 gubernatorial race.
Louisville area officials will hear an appeal from Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin about the value of a home he purchased from a friend and campaign donor. Bevin and his wife purchased the home in March for $1.6 million. Jefferson County officials say the home is worth $2.9 million. The discrepancy has prompted an ethics watchdog group and a Democratic state lawmaker to file ethics complaints. Bevin appealed the violation today. A three-member appeals board with the Jefferson County Property Value Administrator's Office will hear that appeal. The board is appointed by Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher, who is a Democrat. The original property was 19 acres. Bevin purchased the house in 10 acres from Neil Ramsey, a friend who owns an investment company. Bevin appointed Ramsey to the Kentucky Retirement System's Board of Trustees.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate will vote early next week on trying to move ahead on a straight-up repeal of Barack Obama's health care law. McConnell made the announcement last night. He says the vote was at the request of President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence.
In the coming days, the Senate will take up and vote on a repeal of Obamacare combined with a stable 2-year transition period as we work toward patient-centered health care. A majority of the Senate voted to pass the same repeal legislation back in 2015. President Obama vetoed it then. President Trump will sign it now.
Three Republican senators, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, have turned against McConnell's repeal of Obamacare. McConnell also had delayed action because of Senator John McCain, who is recuperating in Arizona after having a blood clot removed from above his left eye.
A West Virginia pastor says she'll go on a hunger strike to stop the Senate's health care bill. Dan Heyman reports.
Reverend Janice Hill of Parkersburg met with Senator Shelley Moore Capito to testify against the Senate health care legislation last month. Video of their meeting drew nationwide attention after Hill credited Obamacare with saving her daughter's life by making sure she got cancer treatment. Hill now says if and when she knows the repeal bill is to be up for a vote, she'll start a water-only fast.
When I know it's going to go for a vote, then I will make my stand. So this isn't a stunt for me. These are people's lives, including my daughter's.
The Senate vote has been delayed. Capito has not clearly said if she will vote for or against the bill. If she votes no, most observers expect the repeal to fail. Dan Hyman reporting.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth sees possible areas of compromise in Congress. Yarmuth spoke on CNBC's Squawk Box today, saying the global competitive aspect of corporate tax rates could prompt bipartisan agreement on the issue. He suggests a reduced corporate tax rate of 25% to 28%, but he says his fellow Democrats do not support the president's suggested rate.
Reverend, I don't think any Democrats are willing to go to the 15% that President Trump has proposed, but I think somewhere in the 25% to 28% range would get a lot of support from the Democratic side.
Yarmuth adds that delays in considering the fiscal year 2018 budget show that Republicans can't negotiate in their own party and are unwilling to engage Democrats. The budget is under review by the House Budget Committee today and will head to the House floor if passed.
Kentucky signature conservation groups are reporting an uptick in participation that they attribute to the Trump administration's attempts at environmental deregulation. Recent months have seen increased membership, fundraising, and volunteerism for groups including the Nature Conservancy, Sierra Club, and Kentucky Waterways Alliance. The boost comes as President Donald Trump charts an aggressive path towards environmental deregulation, including pulling the U.S. out of the Paris International Climate Agreement. Kentucky Heartwood was formed 25 years ago by citizens concerned about logging and mining in the Daniel Boone National Forest. Director Jim Sheff says the group's latest fundraising total was twice the normal amount. He calls it the Trump bump.
Folks have seen how so many environmental policies, laws, and regulations are being torn apart, both in the White House and in Congress. And I think that that's turned into people being rightfully alarmed and trying to figure out ways of supporting those issues that they care about.
The Trump bump also seems to be benefiting the Sierra Club's Cumberland chapter. The Kentucky-based division has gained around 1,000 members since Trump was elected, pushing its total to more than 6,000.
Federal officials say a coal miner's death in Pike County could have been avoided if basic safety precautions had been taken. Haley Hansen reports.
43-year-old Ray Hatfield Jr. was killed in January as he was shoveling loose coal from under a belt line. His clothes got caught on bolts on a roller shaft and he was pulled into moving equipment. The U.S. Mine Safety and Health Administration says the mine operator, RNC Coal, did not have effective measures in place to ensure workers shut off the belt before working to close it. They were cited for several violations, including having inadequate guards around the belt line. I'm Haley Hansen.
It's currently 90 degrees here in Moorhead. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 67 degrees. Clouds on Thursday with a high of 92 degrees. I have 93 degrees on Friday with a slight chance of rain, and scattered thunderstorms are in the forecast for Saturday with a high of 94.
The time is 4:45. You are tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Leanne Akers, and we're glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian talks with Kate Thacker, who was born in Rhodesia. She talks about her childhood, growing up while her nation transitioned to black majority rule, then going on to college at Moorhead State University and her experiences as a special education teacher.
I was born and raised in Salisbury, Rhodesia. In 1980, it became Harare, Zimbabwe. Growing up in Zimbabwe was great. You know, we didn't have fast food. It was warm year-round. Fresh fruits and vegetables year-round. It wasn't the fast way of life. It was very slow and one TV channel. Everyone played outside. I think we had a lot of friends because we never had family. My mom's family lived in England. My dad's family lived in South Africa. Right. So we relied on friends as our family. Often rode a bike to school because there was no public transport. And our school year started in January. Our school day was from 8 until 1. And then your activities, sports, or your choir, music was all in the afternoon. Before 1980, they had curfew, so you weren't allowed out at night. After 1980, I went to an all-girls Catholic school, and that was my first experience having Africans in a classroom with me. Growing up just with whites in the classroom, a lot of my friends left the country. They went to South Africa or England, but we stayed. Still then, it wasn't safe to go out at night. When you went from point A to point B. And if you did go out, and of course we did go out, we didn't live like hermits, but when you went out, you always had to make sure that there were boys and girls in the car, so, you know, by numbers it was safe. It wasn't common to go to university. Not a lot of people actually went, and so when the opportunity came up and I was offered a scholarship here, then I came to Moorhead.
You were a tennis player.
Tennis player.
Obviously a very
yes.
good tennis player.
Well, I get the ball over the net. And we won the OVC that year. I've played number 6 singles and 3 doubles. The first week I remember crying a lot because I was very homesick, and then going to my first class, and I remember leaving and just, because I couldn't understand anyone, because the accents were so different. John Collis, you know, went into the bookstore and he kind of watched out for me. And I asked him where the rubbers were. And he said, "Well, we don't carry those in the bookstore." I said, "You have to carry rubbers." And what I was referring to was the racers. You know, back home we call them rubbers.
Right.
So,
as in England.
Yes. So that was my great story. I had a great experience at Moorhead.
You got
yes.
a degree
mm-hmm.
in special
yes,
education.
Yes, special education. I'm MMD K through 12 and FMD K through 12. I suppose I was tender-hearted for the students that needed some extra help. My passion was FMD, functionally mentally disabled students. I suppose it's kind of selfish and rewarding in a way because they really appreciate you. They need you. I had a job lined up, Johnson County, MMD. And then I left and went back to Zimbabwe. And I remember it to this day. I was getting my visa to come back to America. And I got my wedding dress. I was going to get married August 12th and start my job. And they said, "Oh, you can't go back." And I was like, "But I'm getting married August 12th. So I just kind of collapsed, crying. And the advisor here, he had signed the wrong line. And they're very particular. Then I had to stay and I lost my job. And then Sean and his brother worked very hard to get me a fiancé visa. Then I was allowed back in the country. It was November-ish because I remember cooking my first turkey. I worked at Super 8 Motel, cleaning rooms. And then I moved up from cleaning rooms. I worked at Spanky's, being a waitress. Then I moved up and worked at Pizza Hut.
So in the meantime, though, you got married.
Yes.
You started teaching in Johnson County.
Yes, at Port Elementary. So then off to Johnson County, South Laurel Middle School.
From there, you moved
to Somerset, where Sean was the head coach at the high school, and then I became a counselor there for 8 years. And then we made the move back to Moorhead.
You and Sean have?
3 boys. I think we should all kind of take a step back and not take things for granted, because we are very blessed here with all our opportunities. As a student, I said I would never live in Moorhead, and I'd never be a townie, and I'm both, and I love it.
Neighbors airs every Wednesday here on Mountain Edition. The time is 4:51. Braxton has sports for you in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky and located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Regional Medical Center, and Cave Run Lake, the city of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. Office is located at 314 Bridge Street and by phone at 784-8505 or online at moorhead-ky.gov. Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will attempt to end their losing streak once again tonight at Great American Ballpark. The Reds will battle Arizona at 7-10 in Game 2 of the 3-game series. Since he fell to Arizona last night 11-2, rookie Sal Romano got the loss after giving up 6 runs on 6 hits and 4 innings of work. Despite the outing, though, Reds manager Brian Price says he saw some good stuff from the 23-year-old right-hander.
It really does boil down to throwing a ball over the plate and keeping yourself in good counts and then allowing yourself to mature through the process. We know that Sal has 3 legitimate big league pitches. How he uses them is important, and his ability to command the zone as he did in Colorado would bode well for his chances.
The Reds will send Tim Adelman to the mound tonight. The D-backs will counter with Zach Greinke. Some scores from around the MLB this afternoon. The Cubs beat Atlanta 8-2. But Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant left the game in the first inning after injuring his thumb on a slide. He is listed as day-to-day. The Phillies beat the Marlins 10-3. The Twins beat the Yankees 6-1. Seattle leads Houston 4-1 in the ninth inning. The Rockies lead the Padres 6-0 in the fourth. Cleveland leads San Fran 3-1 in the third inning. And Tampa Bay and Oakland are tied at 0 in the fourth. Now that surgery to repair a torn capsule in his throwing arm is over, former Round County standout pitcher and current New York Met minor leaguer Cameron Plank is rehabbing in Florida. While doctors think Plank will be sidelined for 7 to 10 months, he's optimistic that he'll be back on the mound a little quicker.
I'm throwing in November, so I find it really hard to believe that it's going to take 9-10 months for me to recover from this. I think the earliest I could be on the mound would be about the 7-month mark. Now, I'm saying that, but I don't know that. I don't know how my body's going to recover. I don't know how that's going to happen, what's going to work. But I can promise you that I'll work as hard as I possibly can.
Plank was drafted in the 11th round of the 2016 MLB draft by the New York Mets coming out of high school. With preseason camp less than 2 weeks away, Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier is eagerly counting down the days. Tenier is excited about having a good chunk of his team's roster on campus, preparing themselves for the upcoming rigors of what they'll face in August.
We've got currently have 60 players on campus working out with Coach Rhodes and the strength conditioning coaches and working hard. It's hot, starting to heat up a little bit. It's going to be the hottest week of the summer, and guys are working hard and excited about where we're at.
The Football Eagles begin preseason drills on August 1st. Their season opener is August 31st against Kentucky Christian here at Jane Stadium. Kentucky's quarterback remains confident the Wildcats are primed for a big fall. Senior Steven Johnson recently told reporters at SEC Media Days that the high expectations UK fans have placed on the Wildcats after their 7-win 2016 season doesn't put more pressure on the Big Blue.
None at all. None more than the pressure that we put on ourselves. We know that we can be as great as we want to be. So just going into it, we have our own goals set for our team. We're trying to achieve that one game at a time.
The Cats open up on September 2nd at Southern Mississippi. Round County football coach Kelly Ford says the Vikings have made good progress during their first week of preseason drills. Among all of the other things they've done, the Vikings have been taking part in a couple of 7-on-7 competitions. Ford says those workouts have given his squad a chance to improve on a key component of Round's offense.
Coming out, we have really been doing some emphasis on throwing the football because that's what we like to do. We're going to be pretty good running football team, but we got to learn how to get the ball in there to win.
Senior Kelly Norris returns for a second straight season as Rounds' number one quarterback. He completed about 44% of his passes in 2016 for 465 yards and 4 TDs. Finally in sports, one of the nation's top 2019 high school basketball recruits says he's very interested in attending the University of Kentucky. As a matter of fact, 6'11 power forward James Wiseman of Inswood High School in Nashville says he hears all the time from UK assistant Joe Justice.
Like, they text me recently, like every day. They just say good game after, like, a game I play and stuff like that.
Wiseman says he's not yet spoke to Kentucky head coach John Calipari. At this point, he plans to visit UK, Duke, and Kansas. Several other big-name schools are also wooing the five-star recruit. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
MSU Athletics. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed at record highs as investors digested key quarterly earnings, and two of the three major indices did finish at all-time closing highs, the exception being the Dow Jones Industrials. The Dow Industrials were up 66.02 at 21,640.75, and the Dow average was held back by losses in IBM, which is a big component of the Dow. The other two major indices did set all-time closing records, as the S&P 500 was up 13.22 to finish at 2473.83, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 40.74, finishing at 6385.04. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 3-1 positive, as the market was overwhelmingly strong today. And, of course, the Dow today was held back by losses at IBM, which greatly affected that average. Morgan Stanley was up over 2% as the company reported better-than-expected second-quarter results across the board, with trading revenue coming in above expectations. Other banks, such as Citigroup and Goldman Sachs, saw their trading business struggle last quarter. Dow component IBM reported mixed quarterly results, with earnings topping expectations but revenue disappointing. The company also said its revenue declined for the 21st straight quarter, pushing the stock down by 4.2% and, again, capping gains on the price-weighted Dow Jones Industrial Average. IBM is the fifth-largest Dow component by share price. In economic news, housing starts jumped 8.3% last month, hitting their highest level since February. Mortgage applications rose 6.3%. On the political front, House Speaker Paul Ryan said the House would start drafting legislation to overhaul the nation's tax code after the summer recess. And in the bond markets, U.S. Treasury yields rose with a benchmark 10-year note finishing at 2.27% and the 2-year hanging or hovering around 1.36%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.5% to finish at $47.10 a barrel. Gold was down less than 0.1% at $1,241.20 an ounce. In Europe, markets rose with the Stock 600 up 0.75%, and Asian markets were up as well, with the Shanghai up 1.4% and the Hang Seng up over 0.5%. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were DuPont and Boeing. The worst performers were IBM and Walmart. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Vertex Pharmaceuticals and Scripps Networks, and the worst performers were Northern Trust and W.W. Grainger. Turning now to stocks of local interest. It was Ashland Global up 49 cents at 66.88, AEP up 32 cents at 68.68, CSX down $2.77 at 51.87, AK Steel up 23 cents at 6.60, Marathon Petroleum up 71 cents at 55.54, and U.S. Bancorp is up 43 cents to finish at 52.06. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Chaz Jenkins. From the West Virginia News Service, Dan Hyman, and from the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen, with our feature today, MSU Professor Adrian Swain. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Leanne Akers and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.